Welcome to the Metamarine Podcast, where we talk all things in Warhammer 40K that have power armor. Keep all appendages inside the drop pod until it comes to a complete stop. It's time to rev your chainswords and beseech the Pantheon. Don't be a Tina. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Metamarine. I'm Max Style, here with Thomas Bird and Nick Fuller will be your host tonight. Tonight is going to be an interesting one. We, of course, are going to have the standard, what did you learn? We've got some interesting ones here, a little trauma, so to speak, from some Gladiator Kids gave Thomas the business. Then we're also going to have, Nick is going to talk about some experience with some data sheets. And then we've got our main segment, where we're going to talk about our lists, how they've been doing, what we've been playing, what we haven't been doing. And then we're going to talk about Chaos Knights as our first segment of Know Your Enemy. Been doing some playing with them and really kind of opened our eyes in it, because you may have seen Chaos Knights in your local meta. You may have played against some and beaten them and think, oh, it's no big deal. I'm here to tell you, they're kind of a big deal, especially in a teams format. They are an interesting army, and they're going to play a little differently than you think they do. And what we can do as Marine players to kind of counteract that and get some W's out of that. So, what did you learn today? I learned that the Repulsor's Hunter Slayer missile is indirect.
The Hunter Slayer.
Not Hunter Killer.
Upgraded from the Hunter Killer. It is exactly the same profile as a Hunter Killer. It's on 2, strength 14, AP 3, D6 damage. One shot.
Yep.
But it adds the spicy indirect, baby. Yeah.
I don't know how I overlooked that so many times looking at the Repulsor datasheet, but I did.
I mean, most people probably gloss over the number of guns they have on the thing, right?
It is a handful. I had to, like, we were practicing one of the lists. I was like, Mac talked me into using an executioner. I was like, I don't want this thing. I'm like, let me shoot this thing. I'm like, yeah, Lee, I have to go check box all the guns. I'm like, well, how much now? Twin like this, not twin like that.
I'm like, all right, should get there. No, wait, it's a Stormbolters. Hang on.
So the Repulsor doesn't suffer from it, but the Executioner kind of does. It has all these different range bands for where it wants their target to be in. Well, the Heavy Bolter's 36, and the main gun is, you know, basically infinite, and then the top guns are 24, but they really want to be an 18. It's a whole thing. The Repulsor less so. You know, most of its guns are going to be short range anti-light infantry anyway.
Yeah. I did learn that the onslaught Ganon on that thing is not twin linked, which you're like, you always used to get in the dev wound guns that are twin linked, and you're like, this is sucky. That's all I could think. Like, this is not okay.
If Oath comes back like it used to, the Executioner stock goes up tremendously for sure.
Man, yeah. We had that conversation Friday, actually. Me and Thomas were playing, and it was like, man, I didn't get to play Marines when they had the good Oath. And I was just like, God, if I could just have like full rerolls on like one. Like, oh, yeah.
It's pretty sweet. Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
The good old days. I was like thinking about it. I'm like, it wasn't that good. And then you're like, I don't have it anymore. I'm like, yeah, it was pretty good. I miss it.
Turns out, pretty dang good.
My Stern Guard missed it for sure. I'm like, dang.
Stern Guard were such a clutch thing with that, with the rerolling wounds.
I love that unit. And they came out with some new models, man. I just don't, it's like, I can't find a way to make them good.
You even doubled down with it. You had Gilliman who could give you a second Oath target.
I know. I would like Tigeris would join them. I'd have a whole thing and I'd shoot, kill. And their old rule was shoot again once per game. And you're like double down with a second Oath. Oh, man. Lots of damage.
So, anywho, speaking of lots of damage, you've got a little mental damage from some gladiators, I understand.
Man. Okay. So, you know, hot off the hot lizard drop, right? I'm like, we're preparing for New York teams, Battle for Salvation. So I have my Gladius list, but I'm the Marine guy. So they want to test all these different versions of Marines that we might play against. And oh, look, this is the new hotness. How come you're not playing this, Thomas? How come it's way better than Gladius? I'm like, meh. You guys don't know. There's so many problems with it. Here, why don't you play it? And it's like this Iron Storm heavy tank list. And I played many variations. This is just one of many. Black Templars, so you got all these multi-mythos everywhere. You got these gladiators. So I'm like, okay, I'll test it. I'm like, I don't have that many gladiators built. I'll proxy some stuff. And then I play it. It's pretty good. You know, I can't argue. There are problems with it. But I'm like, well, I'll do my due diligence. I'll play some games. I'll build the models. We still have some time. if I really like it, we could switch to it. Or if nothing else, we have that stable of models in the collection, and then we can use it for other people, or we just have it to play against, right? It's nothing bad about it. So I'm like, I start building these gladiators. And the list has 6 or 7, depending on which variant you use. Has a bunch of Valiants, which are very unusual. Typically, they don't use Valiants. It has one Lancer. I took the Lancer out, which is very interesting. And then it has 3 Reapers. So I'm going through it. I'm building these tanks. And I'm like, I have a stack. I had to go collect gladiators from everybody in our group. Mac had some. Jill had some. I had some in myself. And I'm like,
everybody's got at least one.
You're like, and I had some built. I'm like, golly, there's a lot of gladiators. And I go through it, and I'm like, 2 gladiators in. I have to build 6 of them. Like, I got to build 4 more. 2 gladiators in. It took me 4 hours each. I sat here in my basement in the studio for 8 hours straight building gladiators. And I, like, couldn't feel my feet. I was numb. I was cold. I'm like, I got to get up and walk around. I'm like, old man in it over here. I'm like, looking down at the stack of boxes. I'm like, golly, I got to build 4 more of these things. I don't know if I'm going to build any more today. I'm like, they're not building themselves, though. So I called on my, like, normal people who help me build stuff, and they're like, they don't have time to build it in the short time frame.
You build what? Need. No, man. Sorry, I can't. Help
like, how many pieces? Nah, I'm busy. I gotta help.
Sorry, move my phone's breaking. I'm driving through a tunnel.
So
yeah, next to me, man.
The list might break me before the building. The models might break me before I ever get to the point of actually playing the list. But we'll see. It's
a good list. It's man, it hits hard.
Yeah, played against Nick's Blue Lagoon. We were practicing on Friday, just testing it out, and he got to see the full power of it. It was rough.
I mean, it didn't help that I couldn't roll an armor save and, like, failed. Did, like, the National Lampoon's, like, charge phase. All my guys were, like, stumbling over each other and tripping over the walls, and it's like, oh, what's going on?
I mean, yeah, you do need to make an armor save to win 40K.
I switched to the Marines because they have good armor saves. 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. I'm like, well, I don't know what to do for you.
I failed. Oh, my armor saves.
3 guys. I'm like, oh, shoot. I'm now from melted guns. Oh, there. I'm dead.
Yeah. It was like an impulsor in combat with some assault intercessors. I was like, all right, well, just pick 3 of them up from incidental, like, bolter shots with. Like, okay,
not oath. I'm just like trying to shoot a guy off.
They're in combat. It's a shooting phase. I got. I'll shoot them. They're like, oh, well, you picked the unit up. Good job.
Wow.
It was bad.
So, speaking of, what did you learn this week, Nick?
Some data sheets and models, no matter how much you like them or you want to play them, just don't fit in every list. My Captain and Gravis. I have him really well painted. I love that model, and just I keep trying to shoehorn him in places, and he just doesn't have the punch or the It has nothing really adds to the army.
He is the aggressor personified. He doesn't excel at anything, and a captain really needs to have one thing that's his.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Like, he doesn't really give anything to the unit. Like, he doesn't punch that hard. Mm-hmm. He's basically just an expensive aggressor. And like I said, I keep trying to shoehorn him in. I'll be like, maybe I'll give him the infiltrate relic, and like they'll hide behind this wall and pop out the other side, but they can't advance and charge.
Yep.
Like, I really want to put Khalgar in that unit to give them advance and charge and fall back and shoot and charge. But then, like, do you really want to put Khalgar on the front line? Because he's the one giving you all the extra CP. So it's like,
yeah.
I don't know what to do with him.
I mean, 5 turns and 5 CP. That's worth its price in gold right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely don't want to be throwing Khalgar away early game. Like, yeah, you can do him, work, but
you need him to be doing work at least till turn 3. And then hopefully he's down there punching somebody and they're out of models by that point before he's like really fully engaging.
Yeah. And if you're doing that role, the Gravis captain doesn't have the chutzpah to just be that guy in the front line. What are you going to do about it? I'm going to kill you. That's what I'm going to do about it.
Yeah. The worst part about that story is, like, when we played the game, he, like, came out with aggressors in Vanguard. So they're not full power Gladius aggressors. They're, like, wet noodle Vanguard aggressors. But they got some tricks. He put the extra CP to shoot extra far, plus hit, plus AP. But he shoots, does some damage, and he's like, all right, I'm going to charge this other tank now. I need a 6-inch charge. I think he even had a reroll. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was the captain was with the unit, so he had a free reroll.
So he used it. He freaking failed it. He failed the charge. So he's just standing out in front of this Iron Storm tank list. All these Valiants with melted guns. Like, they're all dead. Luckily, the captain is hiding behind them. There's like four gladiators
just standing there.
They're just like, you didn't make it. Take some devastating wounds from the Reapers and stuff. So the captain was behind the wall. So he didn't, like, after his unit died, he was lucky he didn't get shot again. So he's like, ha, joke's on you. I'm coming out of the booth next turn. And so these assault intercessors just charge this impulsor. And he comes in to charge this impulsor. And it's the only thing I kind of have that's even threatening to objective. So if he like kills this thing, like I'm a bad good
position
way.
On primary.
Yeah. He's gonna blank me on primary. The assault intercessors come in, and we already heard what happened to those assault intercessors in the following shooting phase. The impulsor just gunned them down. What we didn't say is that 4-inch charge that captain needed. He rolled a 3. Captain free reroll. Rolled a 3, and he just got to stand where the aggressors died on their dead bodies, waiting for his turn to go down to all the clays. Like,
it was worse than that because I looked at the impulsor and I was like, "All right, I'm gonna charge him with these guys, with the insulter guys. I'm gonna do some mortals on charge, and then I'm gonna toss a grenade with the captain. I'm gonna do probably like 5 mortal wounds, do a couple in combat, soften them up a little bit. Captain running in there, pop him in the face, no big deal.
Good plan.
Yeah, did 1 mortal wound on the charge.
Oof.
Captain throws the grenade, does 1 mortal wound.
Oof.
And then fails his charge twice.
He failed, survived, lives.
Then the impulsor shoots back in combat, kills the assault intercessor. And I was like, okay, well, sometimes that happens, I guess.
Yeah, sometimes you just lose.
Not his shining moment. It's like, you're like one of those times, I just got this guy painted and he just did the worst thing in the game. I can't even like give him a second shot. He's coming back on the shelf. It was so bad.
That's painted model syndrome, man. Sometimes it does my God, that.
All the way. Oh, yep. I was heartbreaking for me because I like that model too. I was like, I don't want to do this to you.
Well, he's gonna go sit in my shelf over next to my flying hive tyrant and play solitaire and talk with each other, tell award stories.
They're just gonna play solitaire next to each other.
Yeah, like, they'll just sit next to each other. Like, remember nice. When we used to be good? I'm like, yeah, man, names of the days.
You were never good. Shut up. So that's a great segue, playing solitaire, into our main segment, list updates. So Thomas, you're playing the we're gonna dub it the secondhand parking lot.
Yeah, the secondhand parking lot. So this is we got it from some Europeans, so we're trying to come up with some clever name that wasn't bad. So I couldn't come up with anything. I'm not the clever name guy, so. But it is a parking lot. That list is like 11 or 10, you know, 10 or 11 tanks. It's minimal foot guys. It's just all violence. And the whole premise of the list is stat check, toughness 10 tanks with a million bullets. We're going to shoot you to death. Not really my style of play.
Do most of them have a 2-up save also?
No, none of the tanks have 2-ups. No, it's all gladiators. Okay. Yeah, there's some predators. Okay. It's just 11 wounds, 12 wounds, T10, right?
Yep. It's 3-up save. There's cheap too.
Yeah, I mean, relatively speaking.
All right. And they're 150 and 160. That's cheap.
That's pretty cheap. That's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
So what you get away with?
You run around, you got the lethals, you got the fallback shoot and charge auras that you have to manage, but you're just like shooting a million bullets. And it's just like, hey. The interesting thing about it is the Gladiator Valiants with the multi-melters. You play Black Templar, so you pick up an extra multi-melter. I had to even look up what a Valiant was. I didn't even know. Like, I know Lancers, I know Reapers, but what the heck's a Valiant? Valiant has like a twin last talon that's twin linked. Its special ability is if it shoots the last talon, plus 1 to hit with only that gun against the closest vehicle and monster. Like, oddly specific. But then it has 2 multi-melt sponsons, so 4 multi-melt shots. But then it's Black Templar. For whatever reason, they get free. It's not free. It's an extra 5 points, but like an extra multi-melt
shot. It might as well be free.
But no other faction remembers how to put multi-melters on their tanks except for Black Templars. So dumb.
Yeah, that must be tough.
So 6 multi-melter shots and 2 last talons that are twin linked. So like, I'm like, that's a lot of beef coming out of that thing. I watched a game where we're testing its custodes, and you're like, custodes are like, we just take everything in the world. We're like, just 4 from the pain, 4, you can't kill us. And oh yeah, they got killed. It was pretty easy. You know, it was like, oh my God, I didn't believe it. I'm like, they didn't even roll bad. It just like, they just could not take all that damage. It was like, and it's like, hey, you kill 3 tanks. I don't care. Now you're closer to me. Yeah, more damage. It's like, oh, you start doing Mercy's weakness with the freaking Reapers and they like they do sustain hits two on infantry, and then they have twin link dev wounds on their chain cannon gun and whatever. And then you're like, you explode on fives, double hits. You're like, that 12 shot gun turned into 30 hits. Now you're rerolling for dev wounds, and you have three of them. You're like, this is gross. So it was very interesting. So I'm trying to like suffer through because I don't have all the movement tricks. Like if you touch my tank, I have to be like, oh no, I have to fall back. It's very painful. But you do get to roll a lot of dice blowing stuff up. So in the terrain sets that we play, it's always a tricky consternation where you're like, can I actually see you? People stage behind walls. You're just going to get charged. And that's the way that list is. It's like, I don't care. Charge me. I'll kill you afterwards. And it's like, how many turns can you delay me from getting primary before I shoot you all dead? And I'm not super convinced that's better than Gladius. It's certainly not as flexible, but like if you pick the right matchups and you have a good terrain set, this is gross. It's hard to kill. So I'm going to play it. We'll see.
I think it's a good team's army, like team's list. Because like in a general all comers, you're going to run into people who's like, just jam dudes at you and buy myself three turns of outscoring you, and I just win on points, right? Yeah. But like in teams, you can be like kind of be a lot more selective on like who you're going to go against, and like Custode seems like a good one, right? Or like tank heavy stuff probably with all those multi-meltas.
Yeah, it's like it's a stat check army, like just like Chaos Knights. We're gonna talk about them a little bit later, but like if you don't have that many things to kill tanks and that's all they got, it starts becoming a real big problem. You know, like once you get that one or two things and I kill your things that killed my tanks, then you're like you're up the creek, right? So you got some splaining to do when all the tanks start rolling around the corner untouchable. So it's a different play style for sure, but it's
good. Yeah, because I think like most people right now are taking like maybe two or three things in the like units in their army that can deal with a tank or two.
Yeah.
Like we're not kidding out to like, you know, kill all the tanks.
Yeah, I mean it's good. Like you know, say what you want about 10th edition. Like the separation of the weapons, you know, the heavy anti tank stuff. It's not really usually suited to the infantry. Like you know, you might a melted gun still kills a marine,
still but melted. Yeah,
but it's you know like the volume of shots is not there typically. So when you start seeing that kind of divide, it's really interesting to kind of like how do you deal with that if your army is kind of made to take all comers. So,
Speaking of Nick, how's Blue Lagoon doing?
Not bad. So some of the stuff that I do like out of the list is the Hellblasters. I really am enjoying the Hellblasters.
I just sometimes don't understand it.
I love them. I love them. I got 20 of them. They're already painted. It's ready to rock. I had it from back in the 8th edition when I was rocking them out then. I really do like the 10 man with the lieutenant. I'm thinking about switching over to Gladius just to get the fire discipline relic. So they can have the exploding lethal sustained fives. Plus you can give them the extra AP in,
AP4, ignore cover.
Ignore cover. So it's like all of a sudden like, so do you have an invul save? Cause if you don't take a boatload of damage, but these guys here are trying to convince me to keep playing aggressors.
The aggressors in Gladius with an abiologist and the enhancement, and Uriel especially is making him kind of crazy. Takes him to that like makes him an 11 deep striking. It's just such a volume of shots. You can't neglect that. Like you can't look over the 4-2-1 with you know sustained and lethal on fives. It's just and twin linked. Get out of here.
So there's good. Some profiles that the Hellblasters just won't get it done. We like put the example out aggressors against Magnus versus Hellblasters against Magnus. You know, -1 damage. It just really nerfs the Hellblasters' volume of shots damage wise. And then you're like, you still got a wound on fives. Whereas.
So anyway, I took more Hellblasters.
Yeah. So you just add more. Yeah.
I put another 5-man in there with an Impulsor. And a unit of eliminators just to kind of do that cheeky maneuver where you can hop them in, shoot, or get out, shoot, move, hop in the back, and then the Impulsor can shoot again. But I didn't do it with two units. I just did it with one because I had extra points lying around. But We'll try it out and see what.
You have one impulsor with the eradicators?
Yeah, one impulsor with a 5-man unit of Hellblasters by themselves and a unit of a 3-man of Eliminators.
Mm. But, oh, Eliminators. I'm sorry. I said
Eliminators, right. Yeah.
Eliminators don't, that's too many guys in that impulsor. They're not all in there at the same time.
Well, no, they're not all right. So, no. So the Hellblasters start off in the impulsor. I move them up next to where the Eliminators are. Eliminators shoot, move, get in, and then the impulsor can shoot.
I see.
The Hellblasters get out and shoot. The Eliminators get in and shoot.
I love how you already have it like staged in your mind how it's always going to play.
Mm-hmm. Every time, man. Every time. I'm going to go first every time. Roll all sixes. It'd be great.
Somehow Eliminators like four deployed and they didn't get killed on the first turn because they're in a bad spot.
I can't argue with if you roll sixes, they do good. I mean,
no, I just want to try it out. Like, I have an impulsor painted, ready to go. I have 5 more Hellblasters painted, ready to go. So, I've been having a lot of fun with the 10-man and the lieutenant, and just like I feel more of that.
An impulsor
shenanigans.
An impulsor is one of those units. I cut it from the list, you know, at the drop of a hat. I'm like, oh, I can get one of those too. Yeah, drop the impulsor.
Yeah, I need 80 points.
But if I force myself to have one in a list, I'm always in the middle of the game going, man, those aren't terrible. That's really good, actually.
They are good. I mean, it's just always a points thing with Marines. You're always trying to like shave points to like fit this work unit in or the screening unit in. It's just like,
but if I've never played with two, but I get the impression that if I really like said no, put two on the table, I would actually really like them.
Well, that the tank list I'm playing has two, and it's nice. It's nice. I mean,
I guess the big question is like, what do you put in it, right? The Eliminators feel like that's kind of an obvious until GW fixes so that.
That's such a good ability.
This is not a new thing, right? Like, so it's not like we just discovered Kryptonite. But it's just, it's pricey. I mean, it's nice, but you're like, the volume of shots is not super great. Strength 9, it's like, it's only so good. You're like, yeah, I do two units and the tank, and then I shoot it again. Like, that's a lot of points in that one little tank that's just shooting 4 shots. You're like, and if the opponent really like, I don't like that. It's just an impulsor. Like, you know, you just kill it. Like,
I mean, it can
die like chumps, too. Like, you don't want them to get touched. Like,
no, the 5 up involved, it's not terrible.
I mean, it's better than a rhino, but like, just barely.
I would rather you be shooting at an impulsor than like, you know, my eradicators or any of my other guys floating around.
Yeah, but typically, like, turn one, like, or, you know, when you're pushing out, like, those other things aren't exposed. So, like, if I'm choosing, yeah, I'm going to kill the big things. But, like, if this only the tank is around, like, that's what you're going to get. Like,
I'll be honest with you. If Vulcan could ride in an impulsor, I'd have one right now. Vulcan cannot ride in an impulsor because an impulsor says, well, the not Primaris keyword, that's totally Primaris. Tacticus.
Tacticus. Because he's a baby Marine.
Models, not units. He's not a Tacticus model.
He's too short to ride this bus, okay?
Now, a Rhino can have a non-Tacticus character grab a Tacticus unit and put him in a Rhino. But you can't do it the other way around. So, like, Company Heroes and Vulcan can ride in a Razorback, but not vice versa.
Because,
man, pick your battles.
Okay.
But I was all down on having Company Heroes and Vulcan in a impulsor and being like, yeah, I'm going to dump them out. Yeah, it's going to be great.
That would be good if you get an impulsor for those guys. That would be
It would be. As it stands, you know, the best I got is 5 Infernus Marines, and 5 Infernus Marines is, you know, worse than anything else you got in your brain.
That's worse. So speaking of Vulcan, real quick, we have to have a quick update. When we had our grudge match, we had that RTT last weekend. Nick and I got to have a call out in the first round. He had beat me down with his Blue Lagoon against the Firestorm, the Hot Lizard Drop. So I had to like get my second shot at it. How did that go, Nick? I'll let you tell the story.
That was the polar opposite of what happened in the basement. It was.
I learned. I wasn't falling for his tricks the second time.
Nah, I made a very bad mistake and didn't deploy enough models on the table. Started too much in reserve, and then Thomas went first and was just screened me out really well turn two, so I couldn't really bring anything in. And I was just like, okay, so I lost this game in turn one. So long lunch break.
And he just had the killing power to whatever was on the table kind of thing?
Well, it was more that I didn't have the killing power to do anything back to him.
Hmm.
So the stuff that was on the table was like Kalgar and a unit of Eradicators, I think, and like a handful of like Assault Intercessor and a Scout unit and like an Infiltrator.
Yeah.
But like by themselves against the entire Hot Lizard, like they don't, you know, I'm not killing anything on him. And all my killing power was off the table. So it was like, so you just do whatever you want and score as many points as you want. And maybe maybe at some point in the future, I'll be able to bring a model in.
Yeah, I was able to take out his Infiltrators on turn one, one of his squad with the lone up guy. So that caused him to have a hole in his screening for turn two Hot Lizard drop going first. I like dropped the plasmas right on Kalgar's squad, and he was new to using him, so he didn't quite have the coherency of the right guys next to the right guys. So he started pulling casualties, he started messing everything up, and then he just like, I'm like 12 shots with Oath, 12 hits, 12 wounds.
Yeah, and then I was like, and I rolled like ones and twos for saves again. I was like,
okay. This pitcher's better make some saves because it's all going to go on those aggressors after this. And he's like, he hit two or three saves, and then it's like, nope.
And then none. Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. He's like, they're all dead. It was bad. Yeah. It was gross.
It was real bad. But yeah, it was just kind of like, okay, well, we played it out a little bit just to be like, maybe I can get like, I squeak some dudes in over here. And I was like, there's a little gap over there. I could kind of get a guy in. We played a couple more rounds, and this guy, well, we called. It was like 90, it was like 95-55. Like after we kind of calculated the score, what it would have been after like three rounds. And it's just like, okay, it was a third round where I was like, I can't bring guys in. So
that list, man, that list, if you miscalculate what you think you need on the table or. Yeah, that thing can just drop a hammer on you out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Or a Hot Lizard, as it were.
Yeah. I was putting no stuff in reserve, which is very outside the Inceptors, and it was working really well until I got to the Death Guard. And I'm like, that's the one game I should have put stuff in reserve. And I'm like, normally I play Joe, I play him all the time. I've abused him many times where he put stuff in reserve, and I was able to screen him out where he couldn't bring his stuff in. And so he's like, no, I'm putting all my stuff on the table. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm putting all my stuff on the table. And, like, mistakes were made. So he was able to push me out, and I could not defeat his Death Guard. He beat me pretty soundly. But I'm on to other things now. I have the team's event, and no one wants me to play Firestorm, except for maybe me. But they're either Gladius or this tank list now. We got 2 weeks before lists are due. I'm like, I'm still swimming around looking at other lists. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, you gotta go with what you know, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I did get my vengeance, so all is right in the world. I got to feel the fury.
I took it out on my other two opponents that day, so.
It was funny because he lives real close to the tournament place, so we got done early, so he's like, I'm just going to go back to my house. What time's the next round? And our tournament organizer, Chris, told him. And I guess he must have misheard or Chris must have misspoke. I don't know.
I thought he said 12:50. And apparently it was 12:20. Yeah. The next round starting.
So his second round opponent is a guy named Zach. He's one of our friends. He's like, hey, Thomas, where's Nick at? And I'm all like, I'm not Nick's keeper. Like, what are you talking about?
It's not my week to watch him.
He's supposed to be here. I'm playing him next round. Like, I don't know where. Do you know where he is? I was like, let me call him. I'm like, hey, Nick, man, where are you at? He's like, I'm still at the house. What are you talking about? I'm like, your round started 5 minutes ago. You need to get back over here. Your opponent's waiting. He's like, oh, shoot. I thought it was. So it was kind of comical. I don't know why I had to make that call, but it was funny.
Because I'd have shown up 20 minutes late.
He would have been like, whoa.
Sipping on my coffee, like, what's going on? Why is everyone rolling dice?
But you still won that game, right?
Yeah, I mean, so that one was, we timed out and like naturally, because I was only about 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late to the actual round. So we only got started about 10 minutes late. And he's playing orcs with the, what's the big one called?
The giant.
Oh, the Squiggoth?
Yeah, he's playing with that guy, and then like Mazrog and like some trucks and like three of the war buggies.
Mm-hmm.
the super serious ones in combat. But he's playing with those guys, and we only got to turn the round three.
Kill rigs?
Yeah.
The ones with the drums on them?
And the guy on the tower in the back.
Yeah.
Kill rigs. Yeah. Yeah.
I hadn't played orcs, but like maybe once before that. And so like I was kind of like, I don't know what any of these guys do, but I know that Mazrog is supposedly unkillable. And my moral victory.
He's not hard to kill.
Yeah, well, I found that out too. I dropped in with the plasma scepters and the hell blasters. Was like, all right, all the plasma goes into that right there, and picked him up.
He just has four up from the paint, right? Like, just yeah, it's just sometimes yeah, that's a pain, but yeah,
the four up can like be super swingy. But we went to round three on that because we just kind of ran out of time. And I think it would have been a really close game if we'd gone all five. But at that point, I was winning pretty big. I didn't roll over to the next turn to score because I went first. So we stopped at, you know, what it was. But it was an interesting list. And I didn't even do anything to the giant dinosaur. I was kind of looked at him like, you do you, man. You stay over there on that side of the building. We'll just play Ring Around the Rosie. Just like circle this piece of terrain. He's like, all right, I'm going to charge you. It's a 3-inch charge normally. I got to go 12 inches to get in.
That's tough. So,
it was a good game. Like I said, it would have been close because I was starting to run out of resources, but like so was he. Mm. So it was kind of like it would come down to it. The flash gets came in. Did a bunch of damage to my aggressors, try to charge me. I burned the CP to like fall back and like run away. And then so he killed all the aggressors, and I had the apothecary and the captain in the unit. And I was saving this one CP. I was like, I'm not going to use it for at the moment. I'm going to run away with this. That's what I'm going to use it for. So he kills all the aggressors out of the unit. I was like, all right, he's going to charge. I'm going to burn the CP. And I was like, those are two different units now. Well, the captain's going to run away.
Somebody's getting out of here. It's not you, apothecary.
So, like, the apothecary's standing there. All the aggressors just get mowed down. And the captain's like, well, you got this? All right.
You left the man behind. Oh, this is a terrible story.
My oven's upside down and on still. I gotta go check my toaster.
What?
What's that over there? Oh, wow.
Oh my God!
This captain, Gravis captain, is covering himself in glory. It seems like he deserved all that he got in the basement on Friday.
Yeah, right. It kind of worked out though, because like he had to multi-charge both of them to get into combat with both of them. But like the captain, all of a sudden, is way over here now. So it was kind of like strung him out, and it wasn't able to get the full force.
Yeah, so that's kind of what we were talking about last time. That he declared both, and then you went, "Cool, now I spread out, and you can't." Yeah. And you fail.
Now it's a 4-inch charge to the apothecary, but it's an 8-inch charge to the captain. Yeah. And they're like way up, you know, as far apart as they can possibly
especially be. With something like the giant Squigoff, who's like can't maneuver, who has to like go around.
It's very interesting. Like you could potentially like make him mess up the charge. Or if you like, if it's a vehicle, you're like one of them makes it behind the wall. You're like, oh man. But I don't know if that becomes ineligible at that point because you can't physically.
Because you can declare anything within 12 when you declare a charge.
Yeah, as long as you don't move outside of 12, you're so technically
just, like, just the fact that you can't target. Physically make it because there's a wall there. You can declare matter. It.
You can.
Cheeky.
Nobody's saying that you're a good player. The rule says you can declare within 12.
Now, it wouldn't be an episode of Metamarine where we weren't talking and I figured out something that I learned from last week that I didn't talk about because we spent probably 30 minutes. What'd you learn? I didn't learn anything this week other than I hate gladiators. Like, you know, what'd you learn? Nothing. I didn't learn nothing. You know, like, and then he's telling the story. I'm like, oh yeah, I learned something, you know, during that tournament as it turned out. So what did I learn? So I use this rule all the time. So it's funny that I learned it because I already knew it, right? But I had validation, right? So one of the tricks with Ultramarines and Khalgar specifically, if you don't know how it works, it seems very not as intended. I'll say it that way. And it almost always leads to some argument if it happens in the middle of the game. You're like, okay, here we go. Here we go. I have to explain.
I agree.
So before I tell you what it is, I'll tell you the scenario. So like Nick and I had just wrapped up or we're in the middle of playing. And the guy next to me is playing with Khalgar. He's playing a Vanguard list as well. And he's playing against Thousand Sons. And the guy is destroying one of his units that has Khalgar in it. And I hear in the middle of the conversation, all right, now I'm going to take saves on Khalgar. And as soon as you take saves on Khalgar, as long as there's a victory scar, the special rule says Khalgar has a feel no pain. As long as one victory scar, it's a lot. And his opponent was like, not having it. He's like, no, that's not how that works. You can't allocate it to him. And the trick of it is if you have a bodyguard unit and you have Khalgar attached, as soon as that bodyguard unit dies, you leave one Vitrix guard alive. And now you can start allocating wounds to Khalgar. And most people are like, well, he's a character. You have to allocate to the Vitrix first. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works. So I'm like, as soon as this guy says, no, that's not how it works, I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be good. I'm like, I'm beating on Nick. Everything's going great over here. I'm like the popcorn. I'm ready to hear the explanation about how this guy's like totally calling him out and he's incorrect, right? And so he says his argument is that they are attached. And so until that unit's activation is done, they still count as attached. And it's just like if you had feel no pain, like, and you get shot with everybody, even if the guy dies, they would all have feel no pain or minus one to wound or whatever, you know, unit ability. And I'm all like, huh, that kind of sounds legit. And then they asked the TO came over, gave the quick ruling. And he's like, yeah, can't do it. Maybe the next activation you can. And by that point, Talgar would be hit dead at this point, or the Vitreous Guard would be dead. So the whole point would be moot. And I'm all like, after the game, I'm like, have I been playing it wrong this whole time? Because I use that all the time. And I'm like, so, you know, I'm mad. I'm calling Mac. I'm like texting him. I'm like, oh, did I do it wrong? And I'm like trying to like hunt for the rules, right? Because I got all this downtime and I'm like trying to figure out what I've done wrong. And we finally find it, the rules, the smoking gun. It's very rare you go into the rule book and you can just like find the smoking gun that clearly, definitively says, no, Thomas, you're doing it right. And so we had to like clear it up. But if you look in the leader section and you go through the whole leader long list of rules, the very last sentence, of course, it's always the last sentence, clearly says, as soon as the last wound on the bodyguard unit is dead. So in this case, Calgar's attached to aggressors. As soon as that last aggressor dies, if there's any unallocated wounds, you can now allocate it to a character. And then, so like, there you go. You know, so problem solved. So it was good. So there you go. I learned it. More likely, I learned where the actual answer is. So if the question ever comes up again, which it will, it always does, I know exactly where to look to point, show it to them. So
yeah, I'm not going to say that the problem is solved, because what if Calgar is your problem?
Oh yeah, actually I remember now you say that. I remember I had interactions similar to that, where in my Hellblaster squad, the lieutenant was engaged over here with two guys.
Ooh, and that's there a was good one.
Three guys over here that weren't technically engaged. The unit is engaged. All of them died in combat. So I'm no longer engaged. I roll for my Hellblasters to see if they shoot, right? Because they're not engaged anymore. So like, the argument was, well, no, they were engaged when they died. They don't get to trigger their special thing because they were in combat. But if the entire unit is killed, the entire unit is not in combat anymore. And the way that it reads, that the Hellblasters are like, well, as soon as when they are destroyed, they shoot back.
Well, it's even more convoluted than that, right? Because if you read the Hellblasters, it's like when they die, leave them there. Then they like shoot. And then you're like, okay, well, you leave them there and you get to see if they're in engagement range. And then that means if they can shoot out of combat or not.
Is it you leave them there after the unit resolves all of its attacks?
It is.
Yeah. When he pointed, I went to the game and actually looked at the scenario. It's way more interesting than that, right?
Yeah.
In the scenario of when he's fighting, he's got like three enemy guys touching his four-man squad, a lieutenant and three Hellblasters that are left or whatever. And they're punching it. But the way they're arrayed is the three guys are only in engagement range of that lieutenant. The other three Hellblasters are strung out where they're not even close to the guys.
Okay.
And so if you like go through the sequence of I fight, I kill the whole Marine squad. Hellblasters die, but they stay there. But the lieutenant doesn't. He dies and he goes away. Well, like those three guys are only touching the lieutenant. So like they're not even in engagement range. So it makes it very clear that they stay there. Now they roll to see if they shoot. They get to shoot. They're not touching anybody, so they're not in engagement range at that point.
Fair enough.
Far away. And then he missed all shots. It didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter. But we sat there scratching our heads going like, so I guess I'm not engaged, so I can shoot you with my regular guns and not my pistols? It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a weird thing. You're like, I was like arguing, no, you count as being a, nobody's in
the Hellblasters stay there until the attacks are resolved. Once attacks are resolved, they shoot back.
Well,
the lieutenant.
Yeah, once the attacks are resolved, they're not even if the lieutenant lives, they're dead. They're not attached to him. Just like with Calgar, what you just said. I am no longer attached to them because I have been destroyed. Yep. Now I resolve my abilities and remove me from the table.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's even interesting. If the lieutenant lived, I don't know if I would have ruled it that way, but that makes sense.
Either way, if the lieutenant lives or dies, I'm no longer attached to the lieutenant who's in engagement. I'm not in engagement.
Yeah.
It's a very edge case scenario, but like also like stupid Hellblaster rules. You know, like that's what you get. You play them long enough, you're going to get some weird wonky situation that's going
to
come up.
For sure. Yeah, because everybody wants to touch them to turn them off.
Yeah, because they don't have any plasma pistols. They used to have plasma pistols at some point during 9th. They upgraded them to all have plasma pistols, and they took that away stealthily. So you're like, I'm shooting my plasma pistols in combat. It's fine. And you're like, well, no.
You shoot one.
You don't have any plasma pistols except for the Sarge. You're like...
All right, so I have been painting the Shadow Wizard Money Gang, and I've been playing some Hypercrypt to get to know them, but it kind of took a time out from that because... I'm willing to bet they're going to get touched in the next data slate. So, if they're not a problem child, I'm not really going to worry about it in a couple of months. So, but what I have been playing is Chaos Knights.
Ooh, I love to beat up on some Chaos Knights.
And I'm playing it because nobody wants to willingly play against T-Sun.
I want to play. I haven't had a chance to play against Max, but yeah, Max, like normal like opponents are just like, we're tired of the Thousand Sons. Get another army. I don't want to play him anymore. It's just I'm like beating him like a drum. This one's a
slight variation. Okay, what'd you change? Well, these are cultists. These aren't Zangers. I'm not doing that.
But now this is a 10-man unit room instead of a 5-man unit room. Yeah. Totally different.
Yeah. No, it's not. Go away. So, I had played against Chaos Knights a couple of times in 10th edition, and I've seen some games, and I've heard people talk about them. But I hadn't actually like dug into the meat and potatoes and gone, all right, what is it? What is this? And Chaos Knights are a tough matchup for a lot of armies. Mm-hmm. It is a definite rock, paper, scissor, like, what are you going to do about it? And that's kind of how Chaos Knights play. I've heard that it's brainless. I don't think it is at all to play them at the top level. Not to say that I'm brainful, but... If you play them like I go forward as fast as I can and I charge all the places, they probably get picked up. But if you play them hard on the primary, ooh, they're tough. They're tough.
Like, oh, yeah, OC8 just by themselves, like putting two of them on an objective is like, what do you have that can take this?
I do that routinely. Like, I'll put two of them on there and go, I'm OC16. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
And it's I'll go kill one. Good luck. Do it.
Yeah, good luck to you.
Because now you're close to me, and that is not a place you want to be with Chaos Knights.
Nope.
I talk so much smack about Chaos Knights. I have I was telling Mac, I'm like, whatever list I make, it doesn't matter. I've talked so much smack for so many years about Chaos Knights. When Knights first came out, just regular Knights, I was just like, they're bullying everybody. And I'm like, for whatever reason, I took it personal. I'm like, I'm not going to let this stupid army of Knights bully people. And like, it's unbeatable. It's this, that, and the other. You know, it's brand new. So toughness 8 back in the day was so hard to get. And then I'm like, I'm not going to do it. So I created this list that was like, hey, its first goal and only goal is to kill knights. And at some point it morphed into, it fights other things too. But like, that's always been my motto for every list I ever built after that. It's like, stat check, make sure I did not accidentally erase the check mark on defeat knights, right? So if I can't fight knights, something's wrong with this list. It doesn't matter what it's actually playing against, and I'm never play against knights. So I've almost run almost all of the knight players out of our local meta because they know if they're gonna eventually have to play against me, I'm gonna beat the crap out of them because I'm like, I dislike knights a lot. So it's a running joke that I can't lose against knights because if I do, all I do is catch hell from everyone because all I do is talk smack. So if I lose against knights, it's a big deal and everyone's going to mercilessly grill me. And then I can't take it casually because I built it up so much. I have this unnatural, hey, I'm so nice, right? I want to play, but as soon as you show up with knights, I'm like, ooh, serious Thomas is on. We want to beat these knights. So there's a lot riding on those games. So I'm excited about Mac bringing knights because Mac's a great player. He brings some interesting, like, out-of-the-box thinking to all his armies, which makes it tough. Mac and I personally always have these crazy games. And knights are really hard. I will never say that out loud in public, but, like, here we are on the podcast out in public. Knights are very good. It's a very difficult game for Marines in general, for a lot of different armies, if you're not tooled for it specifically.
So there's Tyranids. Like, when I was playing Tyranids, like, you just don't have an answer. Like,
Yeah.
They put pressure on you and you go, yeah, oh no, you did that.
Well, that's pressure. You got me. Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to hear Max out of it because I played Knights a lot. I know Knights intimately because I'm like, I got to know all the keys to the beat up on Knights. So I know all their weaknesses, at least from a Marine perspective. So we can kind of like trade notes for everyone. If you haven't played Knights, I think it will be great to hear about Max, what makes them good. And then certainly I can give you my feedback on how I approach Knight games, Imperial or Chaos, and try to like defeat them because nobody got time for Knights to be good. Like, get out of here.
Then I'll tell you why they're trash.
we build you up, we knock you down here. That's the Red Marines. Chaos Knights all play with the same type of game. There are two varieties. There's the all baby Knights, and then there's the one big and a bunch of smalls.
What do you think is better?
You may see a bunch of, you know, a couple of bigs or three bigs. That's not nothing to be like overly worried about.
I don't think if you're playing Chaos, I don't think you're doing it right if you're taking more than one big. Like the one big is still a question mark if that's the right way.
Having played it, I fully, wholeheartedly endorse the bunch of babies. The one big is just, it's
the liability.
Yeah.
And you get more little ones for him.
You're always babying him because you come on, you can do it. Come on.
And you're like, go get him.
Yeah. You're like hiding him and like sacrificing other baby knights to like, oh, they may be able to charge the big knight. Can't do that.
I love it. He's a monster
in melee. Like he'll eat anything in the game, but you're like, oh, can't come over here. Gotta protect him. And occasionally, like one game I've played with him, he came in and like smashed three Dark Eldar vehicles, like, and ate them all, and like everybody died, and it was just this horrendous, like, like if it was like a movie, it happened, it'd be this like, oh god, you know, Darth Vader showed up in this hallway and everybody died. But
so like they were like the fluff, basically.
Yeah,
but then he did that. He just stayed there the rest of the game. Like then he died later. Yeah, like I came back an hour later. I'm like, why is that knight still in that corner? What's happening?
Well, he's stuck here now and he can't really get out. So he's like a, you know, a turtle in a terrarium. He's stuck now.
he likes it here.
The superior build is all babies. The two varieties of babies that you need to be concerned with are the carnivore, which is all melee, and the brigand, which is all shooting. There's no hybrid to either one of these guys. The carnivore is hyper aggressive. It moves 14 base and it has two amazing melee weapons. It can fight anything in the game in melee. If you're big, it's got a big weapon. If you're little, it's got a bunch of little attacks. It doesn't matter. It can fight you. It rerolls charges innately, so it's good. It's just good, especially hitting on twos and being strength.
Plus, they got the strat where you can move through models and terrain, right?
They do, and we'll come to that. But yeah, they do.
Yeah.
The brigand has two meltas, a two shot melta gun that's 24-inch, so it's 12-inch, but it's melta 4. So minimum 5 damage out of that. That's so good.
Strength 12 melta, so it's not your old Marine melta of strength 9. Nah. It's strength 12 melta.
And it's minus 4.
Yeah. It's a problem. If it gets close, you're like guaranteed plus 4 damage. You're like, that's not okay. Like it's
hitting tough. On twos, like, and it's got a 12 shot Gatling gun that's also hits on twos. That's 6-1-1. And the thing with the brigands is they get an extra AP if they shoot the closest. So all of a sudden that melt is minus 5, and that's a minus 2 Gatling gun. Now the Gatling doesn't have dev wounds. It's not like every other Gatling gun that has dev wounds.
No, but I mean, the problem with that few number of models is like you got to be able to clear chaff, right?
Yeah.
You can't throw good shots into bad units.
Speaking of chaff, every baby knight, if you're doing it correctly, every baby knight has a D6 blast shot that's 48-inch range of 501 indirect.
We could talk about all the problems he's presented as good things. We could talk about as Marine player all the glorious things he's just pointed out that are really weaknesses for him. Are we ready for that segment? So I'll let you keep going.
13d6 that if you're a carnivore, you hit on threes. If you're a brigand, you hit on twos. Indirects that can get additional AP if I'm shooting the closest eligible. So it can be a problem. I mean,
is that just naturally they get the extra AP? Yeah,
that's their rule.
That's the rule.
Rule.
So the main thing to think about is if it's the shooty ones, the brigands, they're plus one to hit. So they hit on shootings. They just, their profile is built in. So they hit on twos. Yeah. The shooty ones shoot on twos. The fighty ones fight on twos. So they don't have any rerolls, but they're inherently like, they're good at their one thing to do. Now they have other baby knights that are kind of, I shoot a little bit and I fight a little bit. So they're like, so they don't do either.
In the all baby build, you'll have one or two baby characters called a stalker that are a hybrid. They hit on threes, but they can have any weapon combo that's available to the baby knights. So you can either have Melta or Chain Cannon, and then you can have Chain Talon or Slaughter Claw, which I realized it sounds goofy. But the Slaughter Claw is the big melee weapon. Strength 12, minus 3, D6 plus 2 damage. Yeah, it's the big one. The Chain Cleaver, or the Chain Talon, has a big attack that's 10 minus 3, 3, or sweeps that are 8 minus 2, 1. Probably better on the stalker to do that. The stalker's rule is he gets plus one to wound if he is targeting something that does not have another enemy unit within six of it.
Yeah.
Like if you isolate an enemy unit, he gets plus one to wound against it, which makes his indirect plus one to wound. That's no joke.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, but one of the weaknesses of the plus one to hit. The closest eligible that the brigand has. So, like, he wants to shoot you. If you're the closest thing, you get extra AP. Sounds really good. Melt the gun's AP 5. Take that. Chain gun, AP 2. It also counts that indirect. So, like, hey, I'm shooting at that tank, but I got some scouts a little bit closer behind this wall that you can't see.
Sure.
Well, so sad that indirect can see. So, it's the closest eligible, so that extra AP doesn't count.
The indirect I have found to be the best use of the indirect is literally everybody picks on one thing every turn. So it's, I'm going to pop that vehicle first and I'll waste this one guy's indirect, but then everybody else is just going to shoot indirect into that unit. 12d6 blast into that now until I, you know, whittle it down. And there's a...
Now what's the profile on the blast gun?
It's 501.
501.
Strength 5, AP 0, 1 damage. D6, blast. 48-inch range. So it's with their mobility, you basically shoot whatever you want on the table. Basically.
Yeah. But you can use that against them, right? So, like, you know, like, if they're shooting at some scouts, they'll probably kill the scouts if they whittle them down. But, like, a Marine sitting there, you're taking 3-up saves, like, it's going to take a while to kill a whole squad. So if you have a guy in position.
Not the point. And here's where you only figure that out once you've played Knights a little bit. The point is not to eliminate everything. The point of the indirect can be, and I've done this in a game, chip a wound off everybody. Everybody's below starting. That's important because if you're within 12 inches of a baby knight or of any knight, you're minus one leadership on a leadership check. From turn one on, you're just minus one. From turn three on, if you're below starting, you have to take a morale at minus one.
Right, baby.
So now all of a sudden,
in your command phase?
So when you would normally take a test, so if you're below half, shock
step.
If you're below starting now, you take one at your beginning. So at minus one. So now, everybody, from turn three on, you're taking one every turn. Everybody. And that's a pain in the butt. Because it's, I'm behind a terrain. I'm a vehicle. I don't care. Boop, indirect till I do a wound. Cool, you're in 12 of me. Take a test. You're on your own objective? Oh, you don't hold it anymore. I'm sorry.
I love Battleshock shenanigans, man. I love it.
With their Battleshock shenanigans, they have a couple of abilities that can play into that. One of their enhancements gives sticky to a character knight. Sticky to objectives. Really good. Really good.
Also enjoy that.
That objective itself counts as a baby knight and radiates the minus one, and you take tests. And you have to, your opponent can only control it at the start or the end of a turn, is the way the rule states. Now I know that interacts with the other rule, but it explicitly says this objective can only be claimed at the end of a turn or at the start of a turn. If once it's been stickied. So if you go to take it, it's radiating a wound or it's radiating that aura. You touch it, you're battle shocked. You still don't take it. It's a corner case. Absolutely.
I mean, cool. You never want to rely on battle shock as like your main tactic, you know, take it from me. but yeah, when it pops off, it's like, oh, Look at that. Five-point swing.
I wonder if that, like, still with that update, because that came out after that.
I don't know. It hasn't come up in that regard yet in a game. Yeah. And when it does, I'm sure we'll drop down and we'll go to the library and figure out what's going on.
I played a lot of Chaos Knight players, and, like, they usually don't get into the weeds to that level of degree. So, like I said, this is where Max coming out of the box, trying to use some of these little other enhancements
they have.
Tricks.
They can give a character old school armor contempt, so -1 AP.
It always has it.
Right? How is that bad? Nice. And then the last one. There's another upgrade that's not really worth talking about. You make them take a battle shock in the fight phase if they earn engagement of you. There's some shenanigans you can do with strats. So also, if you're battle shocked, period. This is just part of their army rule. If you're battle shocked, you are -1 to hit any Chaos Knight, and they are +1 to wound against you. Period.
They like it when you're scared, stupid Chaos Knights.
So, what can they do?
You're talking about stacking a pallet jack on top of a pallet jack at that point.
Hey, you need another pallet jack? I get you one.
But you need a third pallet jack.
Pop a third one in there. So, if you are battle shocked, all of their strats kind of resolve around that. I mean, there are a couple that don't, but most of them get better if what you're dealing with is battle shocked. So, they have an ability to get a feel no pain, a 6-up feel no pain in combat, only in fights only. But if what is battle shocked is hitting them, now they have a 5-up. Well, that's real money then, all of a sudden. They have a strat in the shooting or fight to give sustained to 2 baby knights in the shooting or fight phase to all weapons. But if they're shooting something that's battle shocked, now it crits on a 5. That's real money.
Mm-hmm.
They can rotate just like every knight ever could. They can get a 4-up invuln in the shooting phase only. They don't have invulns in the fight phase.
That's how you kill them. Just punch them in. Slap them around.
It's so simple.
It is.
It's a simple trick.
What makes Chaos Knights like worth the price of admission is they have a 1 CP strat that is not a battle tactic that lets them walk through terrain and models as though they weren't there. That means
be very careful.
I didn't fall back. Through
ball stuff.
Oh yeah, if you use it in combat,
you can use it in the movement or the charge phase. So we're engaged. It's start of my turn. Cool. My move phase. I pick this one and this one. This two babies. I'm going to just move. I didn't fall back.
It doesn't count as a fallback when you leave the combat?
No.
Why?
Because I'm moving as though you weren't there. It's a normal move. I don't have to fall back if you're not there.
That's so John dumb. Cena. They have a fallback.
You can't see me.
They have a fallback strat, though, on top of that, don't they?
No. No, they don't.
Knights have a fallback and they don't?
Imperials, the Chaos don't.
I love it.
Don't
That's
have
my
to.
Favorite trick.
Don't have to.
It's just charging with some scouts.
So
this is great.
What does all this end up being? They're all tough 10. They all have 12 wounds or 13 wounds. They all have a 3-up save with a 5-up invuln to shooting. Sure. They all move 12 or 14. The carnivores move 14. Base.
Yeah, 14 is fast.
They cannot advance and charge, but you move 14. There is one more strat I forgot to mention. If you fail a battle shock within 12 of any knight, you can burn a CP and roll 6 dice. For every 4+, that unit that just failed that battle shock, when they fail it, they take a mortal wound and pick a knight. Within 12 of them, they heal. Ooh. For each 4+. Doesn't matter if there's one guy and one wound, and I rolled 6 6s, I heal 6, and he takes 6 mortals. That is cool. Low-key, like all of a sudden, now I'm not bracketed. Okay. Or I'm back up to full. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I've never seen anyone use that strat. I've never once seen someone use that strat.
A lot. I like it.
Healing knights is a pretty big deal. Like, well, I don't know.
Because it's, we're engaged. I've got one knight. He's OC8. You've got a couple of guys on here. Oh, those guys that have, you know, one wound or 2 OC, they failed a battle shock. I'm going to kill 3 of them right now. Now you have OC2 on the objective. It's mine still. Because we do it in your command phase. It's a...
Huh.
Yeah, it's no joke.
Both models are cool.
I mean... Get out of here. You can't fault that.
I'm a sucker for a pretty model.
The carnivores itself are super aggressive. And they just push up to the midfield. Your brigands are... They're hard to deal with just because they can move 12 and shoot 24. Both their guns are 24-inch, and then the top gun's 48. but
they're good guns,
dude. Yeah,
like flat three, right?
Hitting on twos. It's just, it's crazy good. The carnivores themselves tend to play, I tend to play them on the objectives just because nobody wants to go touch them. Cause if you don't kill them, they'll kill you right back. And then they have the speed that if you don't deal with them, they're coming to get you. There's no objective that's more than 14 from another objective. Mm-hmm. I know you think you can just kill every big night, every baby night.
I will routinely, this is like an actual tactic, right? So like routinely, I will charge in my turn a unit of scouts into a carnivore because that's how much I disrespect a carnivore. And a scout, AP3 against armor 4 has no save. So if he hits me and wounds me, he kills the scouts, right? Like, so how does that even work, right? If you really feel cheeky about it, you just like, I dare you to not roll a one. You're like, you have six dice. The math is on my side that it's even money that you're going to roll a one or two. If you roll two ones, I'm alive. And it either forces you to, I didn't know you could do that strat to just walk through me in melee. That's an interesting interpretation.
I mean, I'm just, everyone I've talked to, everyone that's played it, everyone that's in, they, I didn't think that at first, but everyone's like, yeah, that's exactly how that works. You're just, you're,
it's interesting.
You're moving as though they're not there. So are you falling back if they're not there? Oh yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Yeah, I would do it. So on the math of, hey, they're not going to be able to kill me because they're going to roll some ones. And if they roll some ones, the scouts are now in combat. And then they're on their turn, either forced to fall back or stay in combat with some scouts and kill them during their turn and basically waste a whole activation. Now, if they move, there's ways to combat that. I mean, there's nothing you can do really stop them from using that strat. But it is interesting because it presents some movement challenges for them. If you want to spend a CP, you can armor contempt it. Obviously, it's Marines, fives, it's easier. Like, you know, if you just think about six dice rolling ones and ones, it's just like you're going to roll a one on math, and then you have five dice, don't roll another one. You're like, you just don't
kill. The sustained stratagem says if I'm rolling six dice, I'm just as likely to roll six as a one, so that one doesn't matter.
Yeah. Usually, because regular sustained is like, I just don't miss, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not sustained naturally, right? Like you have to strat.
No,
right?
The strat, you pick two war dogs, and typically you're not going to be engaged in more than two, and you give them sustained. So it can just go bonkers.
I'm talking about the turn that you're just standing around on an objective, right? Like, or I'm trying to block you.
That's every turn you're on objectives. If you're playing knights and you're not overloading objectives, you are doing it wrong. You have to plan for there are two baby knights on every objective, everywhere, period. We're going to look at the score sheet, and it's going to be turn five, and you go, you have max primary. Holy dookie. And because so many secondaries revolve around objectives, it's crazy. And also, with the move through models and wall strat, you better be scared if I draw, you know, capture enemy outpost, and I've got a carnivore somewhere within 20 inches of your home field objective.
So, yeah. So from a Marine perspective, you know, the scouts just talking crap to your opponent aside, like the way you kind of stop that move through walls thing is they can move through walls and models, but they can't end on top of them.
Correct.
Right? So like, you can certainly measure 14. It's a big enough base where you can like, hey, you certainly can clear this wall. And if I don't have any guys specifically in this 14, this little gap where your base could fit, you can't fit through. But you could certainly like pre-position guys where like, yeah, your base will have to end here. And now effectively you can't move through here, even though you move through walls because my guys are here and you're going to end on top. So you end up forcing them around. It causes you to put guys in certain places, but you certainly can block move through walls. Two models, two different places. It's hard to have that many guys always in the right place, but you certainly can make it interesting. And, and you're almost always trying to tempt knights to come close to you instead of having to chase them down so that you can like, hey, did you move through the wall? Good. I can fight you on this side of the wall so that I don't get the clap back from the whole entire knight army on the following turn. Because that's usually the problem. Like if you have two knights on an objective, like sure, no problem, kill those two knights. But now like,
now I'm you're in front of God and everybody.
The rest of all the knights, right? You don't want that. So you have to kind of always pick and choose the engagements. And the thing about knights from a fighting against it, it's you're on the clock. You have to be able to kill so many knights a turn. You have to keep that pace going. Knights start to hit a break point where they start falling down. They don't have enough knights to do the things that they want to do. But you're also on the clock, because if they are killing things in return, you're running out of things that can affect the knights. So like you have to be mm-hmm. winning that war of attrition in terms of like fight, because they're always on the primary in the early, if they're playing it right, like Max said, and you have to put the fight to them. You can't be passive and loosey goosey or you're going to lose the primary.
It's the, I once heard somebody say, don't try to play Eldar. Don't try to out trick Eldar, because you're playing their game and they're just better at it than you are. Same goes for Chaos Knights. Don't try to bully them. If you try to bully them, they will hit you hard enough in the mouth to make you go, holy moly, I just got punched in the mouth. Like, you can't. You have to be, what Thomas is saying, very selective about what kills what. If you have range, use it. Marines don't really have that in this edition, unfortunately. You have to be kind of close. Even 18 inches, you're like, oh, I have an 18-inch range.
Yeah, cool. If you move 14 inches, man.
That's a 4-inch charge. You get punched
if you're shooting them from that close. Yeah, like outside of like some big gun tanks, like a Lancer or a Repulsor or something like that, you can kind of pop off. But that's really terrain dependent, right? Do you even have an alleyway that you can kind of get line of sight down? But like inevitably, like the carnivores want to punch you, and hopefully you can sucker the knight player into like expending those a little bit too soon. If he ever puts two of those on the table next to each other at once and you can get two for one, again, they're very weak in melee in terms of defenses. So no invulnerable save in melee. Yeah. So if you can get in there and punch, if you have any kind of punching, my Gladius, I can get up to AP3, AP4 in melee. So like you just like looking for the time when it's like assault doctor, go and punch some knights out. And that puts them in a difficult pickle because they're not as defensively tough there. So
the Feel No Pain can get them out of a couple of jams in that regard, but it's a 6-up unless you're battle shocked. So
I mean, you're always kind of like the knight players like looking for the CP because they want to do the move through walls or they want to do things. So they, unless you're just like rolling over for them, like giving them turns, you're again, it's kind of like, how can I make you actively spend CP so you don't have CP to do all the little tricks? CP. I never see people do those because I never let them have CP. I'm making them spend it.
The advice I can give from the knight side of the table is play spread offense. You know, move your wide outs as far out to the outside as you can. Make the knights play the whole field. Put stuff. Don't just bunch up in a hole over here because you're like, oh, I can hide in this little brick. Like, cool, they'll just go take the rest of the table and wait for you to come out. Like, that's what they want. No, put stuff everywhere on the table, make them spread out. Don't feed them things. But if you can force a player, the knight player, to consider every objective and every part of the table on every turn, you have somewhat more of an advantage rather than their mobility can box you in at any point in time. Because their mobility can box you in.
Yeah, you want to kind of like, let me focus my forces on three or four knights and not let the whole army attack me versus I have to get all the knights at once, or I'm going to put my position where like he can like dogpile me with seven or eight knights.
And don't get greedy. Don't get greedy. Take what they give you.
I get greedy all the time with knights, and like that's a bad mistake. I know that.
Don't split fire. Don't.
Just don't. I'm like, I'm going to melee both of these guys because I'll roll good. And they're like, oh, crap. Yeah. Didn't kill him. Now I don't get captured.
Now I die. Zeros. And that's bad.
And heroic'd. Because, of course, stupid.
Because I walk up to a game, then I go, man, heroic intervention is really good. And Thomas happened to be playing a knight player who on that turn.
And my opponent just suddenly had a brain, you know, like a light bulb moment. He's like, oh, I could have an idea. God dang, Mac, you should have said that out loud.
I apologize. But I did that.
I won by.
I heroically intervened a dreadnought, the Brutalis, onto something and did the impact mortals in the charge phase. And anyway,
Ooh, another. What did you learn? I just get them. It's like an epiphany here. Heroic intervention, 2 CP, often not used.
Really good. You guys know about this?
What did you not know is it does not work on vehicles unless they are a walker.
Yeah.
Did you guys know that?
Yeah. They have to have the walker keyword.
You can't use it on tanks. You can't use it on battle wagons, land raiders. They cannot heroically intervene. Yeah. So we had to like find that out during one of our test games. We're like, we're playing an orc player, and he was like, I want to heroically intervene with this kill rig, right? And effectively, I want to bigly swing the tail around this kind of gap so that on the next turn, he would be able to jump some guys out and attack farther. And we're like, ooh, that's a good move. I had measured it. They're far away. Now that's, if you roll good, you're going to be. And we're like, no, doesn't work. That guy's not a walker. You know, like, oh man. So if you didn't know about heroic land, most people like it's 2 CP. You're like, you know, you have to charge something that just charge. Like that strat doesn't come up that often. I find until Mac walks over and gives the game away to the
opponent. Give it to your opponent.
You know, like, be really good. Geez. Win the game right here. That's really good, right?
I just told him. If it's not a walker, so obviously knights can do it because they're all walkers.
In that vein,
yeah.
You can only overwatch a successful charge. Mm-hmm. So you can't. Oh, someone goes, I'm going to charge. I overwatch. Don't have that reflex. Wait for them to roll, and then you go. Okay, you succeeded. Now I'm going to overwatch. Because it makes your decision as the overwatcher, like, it lets you, you know, I don't want to say delay that decision, but I've had a few times where I'm like, man, if he does make that in, I need to kill some more of those. I need to overwatch that.
Yeah. Yes. Because, like, what happens if you roll the charge and you fail it? You don't move the models. So, like, you know, effectively, you don't do the move. So, like, you can't overwatch. So, it's like, you actually have to make it. And I think overwatch even says, does it say successful charge?
It must be a successful charge.
Has words in there. So, like, you know, it's very interesting, like, the little small corner cases that come up as big deals when you start
rolling. Well, it's when you can use the stratagem. You can target a unit that has finished or ended a normal move or fallback or a successful charge move.
Yeah. And then you can't shoot them when they actually make base contact, right? So it's like, because now they're engaged, you can't overwatch then, right? Vehicles don't get to use their big guns never tire rule for overwatch like that. So you have to be, it's at that point of, did they roll the dice? They made it. Okay, now before they move, I shoot the dice.
Yep. Yeah. Unless you're Vanguard vets. No, you can't even do it then, because pistols let you ignore that in the... Pistols only let you ignore that in the shooting phase, and you're in the charge.
Pistols are the same as big guns. Yeah, it does not work in. You can't shoot pistols in Overwatch if you're engaged in melee. Yeah. It just doesn't. That rule doesn't apply.
So, Chaos Knights are going to be on objectives. They are going to play these. They're going to get 25 to 30 secondaries, and try to like think they're going to max primaries because, and they're everywhere, and they'll just walk onto an objective and out OC you. They'll just, here's two of them. You have 17 on this objective? I bet you don't, unless Vulcan's around.
Even then, right?
Hey, Vulcan doesn't like, part of that.
So, what's the best unit? Points for points.
It's got to be the Covenant War, right? Like, that's what everyone always talks about.
So, if I'm a Space Marine player, and I'm thinking I got to play against Knights, you got to have some Eradicators. And right. I'd go so far as to say you need a 6-man unit and you need a biologist with them. Because
so many points in such a specific use case. It works good. My problem with that unit, I mean, it'll kill a knight, usually, unless they hit some fours and it gets real sad panda, is what happens to them afterwards. If it's a carnivore, you're like, great, you have to move if you want to charge me. Great, I can overwatch you. I like it. Mm-hmm. I'll kill you on overwatch. Biologists make sure of that. If it's a shooty one, or if the carnivore is like, okay, I just won't move this turn, all my friends will walk around. Are you going to overwatch them? Are you even in range to overwatch them? They have 24-inch guns. You're only shooting 18. And then if you do, because you're like, I'm going to kill something before I die, and then the carnivore gets to charge you. Or then he gets to move. If not, then you might just die from melted guns from the freaking brigands, right? So it's not a great scenario. Typically, you know, you don't, unless you can cut angles and aggressors or eradicators outside of specific detachment buffs.
Yeah.
Vanguard, you jump away.
Yeah.
Flamestorm, you can advance. Gladius, you can do whatever you want. The eradicators end up being in that spot. And if you're like, I'm trying to hide and kill this one knight, and if they can't get to you, you definitely ain't getting to them, right? Like, so
it's the Jurassic
Park, you might not kill anything.
The raptors come from the side. Clever girl.
Yeah. So it's that unit's tricky. So like, from my perspective, like, I like to have some eradicators. It keeps them honest. Like, the knights get a little scared when you start re-rolling everything. The math is not on your side in terms of killing a knight with a 3-man. You have to have more than 3. So either multiple units or the big six man. The guy.
Yeah.
Generally, like, you want melee. That's why you kill knights with. You can certainly shoot them. Marines have lots of shooting. There's lots of variations to kill knights. But
the only reason
in melee, because they don't have the save. That's what
you do. So there's on the paper and on the table, and those are two different things. Eradicators yeah. in outflank make me as the night player go, oh crap, where are they coming? Now I have this extra like, yeah, I can screen and I'm going to feed you these two that are in the front and I'm just kind of like doing the soccer kick thing, turning to the side and hoping they don't just nuke me. But now that's changing my positioning and that's yeah. a big deal. Whereas yeah. I'm not the aggressor in my movement phase anymore. Now you are just by virtue of having eradicators in outflank. Whether they come in or not or do anything or not, that's not important. You're changing how I play the primary, which is my shtick as the night player. That's yep. a big deal. That's a big deal.
Yeah, typically, I like to put a Lancer in reserve as well as the unit of Eradicators because the Lancer lets me pick a little bit longer line, sure. and it's more guaranteed damage, and it also does that, which exactly what the Eradicators do. It puts that opponent in that mindset of, if I don't screen, he's going to kill whatever he wants. And, you know, like everyone's got shot by Lancers enough that they've lost a knight to a Lancer. So like the thought doesn't go to, I'm going to just hit all my fours. It's not going to matter. They're like, I'm going to lose a knight this turn. Sure. Where is it going to go? And so they have to screen. So you, and typically the Lancer, what you don't want from a Marine perspective, they push up on you and you're like, I've hidden the knight because they can move fast and they can move far. You don't want to get popped. Turn one, you want it to attack, but you also like, it's going to be in this vulnerable spot. Yeah. You can only move certain spots. So they can now stage to kill you in return. And you don't want that. You want to have that reactive. I see where you are. I see where all your things are. Now I come in from a flank. Harder to screen. Harder for you to now pre-position to kill yeah. me, right? Even if you might even get a rapid ingress where you can get a spot where you might not have been able to if you need to go that far. It's usually not necessary, but those are some of the tricks I do.
General rule of thumb.
Put the knights in action.
You want something that's probably like a 6-2/2 melee is a really good breakpoint sweet spot against baby knights. If you can reroll wounds or have lethal, man, yeah. you got a stew going now.
Yeah, that's what you want for sure. You're really looking for those +1 to wound or lethal hits. Or some combination of their, if you can get extra damage or AP on top of that, you do mortal wounds. Grenades are great against knights. Yeah. They don't like that. Mm-hmm. Like typically, you know, outside of a stray strat that they never use, they're not growing wounds back. So if you start chipping off wounds off of them,
you can they're not getting with them the back. Terror shades. You can grow yeah. wounds back.
They're never using that. Don't let them use that.
Never going to happen. I'll pass all my battle strikes.
I can use it. No, get out of here, knight.
I use that constantly. What are you talking about?
They're like they need it for other things. You're like, oh, you want to walk through the walls? Go for it. You're like, I'm going to make it hard, but you can't move that far. Do you still want to use it? Well, you want to use terror shades? Oh, you want to reroll that charge? Oh gosh,
I failed the battle shot.
Do you want to reroll it?
They reroll charges. You're going to get the land. Don't worry about. Don't listen to any knight players.
Only the carnivores, dude. Not the brigands.
Brigands aren't charging brigands. Anybody. Get out of here.
They sometimes need a charge just for movement. I mean, there's reasons why. Is
like,
it's like four attacks. Or like
six if there's some scouts on the objective and they didn't die for some reason, or he needs to get on the objective, they're going to charge for the bridge. Sure. There's all sorts of reasons.
I will say Blade Guard could be a problem because they have an invuln in melee. All of a sudden, boss a couple of four-ups against me in melee, and I go, huh, well, that's kind of bad.
Carnivore's just like sad panda there. Yeah, they'll like to use tank shock with those guys because they get a lot of dice at it. Yeah. They're strong. They get extra dice.
They'll throw 14 dice wary. And they'll go up, take six. So
you gotta be wary of that. But like again, you kind of like, hey, use your CP to tank shock. I mean, now you don't have CP for the other things. So
that's why you play tactical and you always have an extra one because you don't need it. All kidding aside, it is vulnerable to really good fast melee. Dark Eldar. Have, you know, up 10 million, you know, people jumping out of airplanes and all this stuff and attacking you. If you had advance and charge on, let's say, if you have 10 assault intercessors with a chaplain, I don't really want that coming at me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I certainly don't want Khalgar.
Yeah, Khalgar likes to fight him. He's twin linked, so he's rerolling wounds. He's only strength 8, so he needs 5 to wound, but it's AP3. So you're like doing flat 3 damage. You get a couple through that you just finish off a knight. No problem.
Yeah. I don't want any part of him.
He's got 6 up saves. You're like, great.
I don't want any part of any Chaos Space Marine fighting me. Like any Lord will just, you know, the, the Super Smash Brothers bat sound will hit in like a baby knight orbits the moon.
Yeah, the Forge Fiends will do a number on them with the death wounds if they get to pop off. Obliterators like to just drop from behind a wall, shoot them. Yeah. Their melted guns will do some work. So, like, there's lots of things that can bust up knights. I mean, obviously, they're tanks. They're little. There's just a lot of them, right? And so it just becomes a, do you have the profiles to, like, do effective damage? Can you, like, protect those things for them clap back?
Yeah. Can you kill them fast enough?
Yeah, and it just becomes attrition, right? Like, again, they're trying to bully you on primary. Can you kill enough knights to where they can't do that effectively? And then they're struggling now to, are they running around trying to stay on primary? Or are they trying to attack you? And now they're not necessarily.
The turn one knight game is the ha-ha, I'm all in. And you bet on America. You push everything in the middle. And the turn two game is, I still have enough of the shooting knights to really hurt you. And then the turn three, four, and five game are everything's on fire. Everything's bad. Score as much as you can.
Oh, God. Grab the primary. Oh, God.
You know, you get down to, like, if you're doing it right, like.
And you think
if you bust up the knights.
It's turn four, and you're like, oh, God, I've beat on these knights, and he still has six of them. And your knight player is thinking, I only have six of them. Like, it's funny. Like, literally, the same sentence will come from two different directions on two different. Like,
it is very funny. Like, where you're like, there's so many. And then the other guy's like, I don't have any knights left.
Yeah. But it is, every single one is still OC8. Like, it's still just, it's in turn four and five, it starts to be, you keep going, so what's the OC on that night? Eight. Dang. What about that one? Eight. Dang. All right, how about that one? Eight.
How much OC's on that point right now? 16.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big ones, like, degrade if they get hurt, so they'll drop to five, but the little ones don't degrade. So, like, even if they're on one wound, you're like, that sucker's OC8.
I burn one to auto-pass, and look at that. That one's mine. Like, dang, damn it.
The amount of games I've, like, made closer than they should have been, or I've lost, because one baby knight is sitting on one wound on three different objectives. You're like, why did I split five?
So that's the second proof that he has lost two knights in this.
I certainly have lost, and believe me, I have my scars from all the trash talking my group has given me. But I deserved it, right? Because I like talk so much over the top smack against knights. But I also revel in every knight victory. So, like, if I lose, if you lose to me with knights, I have to make sure you know that it's important.
They do not have much defense to dev wound other than a feeling of pain in the fight phase. So if you've got a bunch of dev wound shots, man, they don't want any part of
that. It's kind of like, not that many. I mean, Eldar notwithstanding, not that many armies have, like, mass amounts of dev wounds. T-Suns are, like, an obvious exception to that.
T-Suns kind of just, like, you know, are giving you the, when you're playing.
But, like, they how many knights are they killing in a turn? Like,
as many as they want, realistically.
I'm about to say, like, they could take
as many as you show.
Saves away, you can.
Are you wounding them that many?
The casino gun.
So let me get this straight. Your objective is to go stand on objectives against T-Suns. So I'm re-rolling everything I want. Okay, yeah, that's a great plan. You should do that.
I think if you're the knight player, that is not your plan against T-Suns. Like, you might have some guys on objectives, but they're not all standing there trying to out OC the guy and bully him. You're like, I'm attacking your chump butt nowhere near the objective, so you don't get all these re-rolls against me.
Realistically, against T-Suns, the casino gun is good for one every turn. Every turn. Magnus is good for one, maybe one and a half. He'll finish one off that another squad has beat down in the shooting phase, and then he'll kill one in the melee phase every turn. Because he has the mobility to get there. That guy, kill that guy. And the clapback him.
Can't they kill him in one turn if they really focus on him?
So blanking saves, like, and re-rolling?
They pop the strat that says, hey, extra whatever if we shoot all at the same target, right? And then they're like, hey, move through walls, go there, and then I tank shock you to, like, finish off your last couple of wounds, right? Like, that's the general plan. Maybe I melee you the last wound or two. Like, you shoot them a lot, you do some mortals whenever you can, and then you punch them if you have to. I think you're going all in on that guy. Because, you can't let him have double activations. You can't let him shoot you and fight you, because he will wreck knights.
So, two 5-mans of rubrics with a character are probably good for one guaranteed a turn. So
is that an auto loss for knights?
It's you're not the aggressor, and it doesn't seem like that would be the case. But you are not. You have to come.
1,000 Suns are so fast too.
But
like, if you get, like, shots on the Rubik's, don't the I mean, they're not going to die that easy. But like,
four,
don't they? Like,
if they just got exalted, they have four ups. I mean, get out of here.
Also, the characters are what you want to actually like. That does most of the damage.
Yeah.
So like, you killed the dudes. Okay,
you did it. You killed a flamer.
The guys who still do all the damage are still alive. Yeah.
Plus the exalted on a disc goes, hey, you're half move, advance and charge. That's a big deal. That can take out.
Yeah,
that can take out a carnivore turn.
He's got to see them. I mean, yeah, it is true.
Oh, yeah, like, that's real hard like, for T-Zones. Get out of here, boy.
I mean, if you're, like, staging it behind walls, you can only do that to one, right? Like, and then they have to move around to see him with something, right? Like, so.
Yeah, but you do it to one, and then you kill the T-Zone next to him. And then you go, okay, now what?
It's.
All right, well, I'm just trying to, like, come up with the answers, because nobody got time for Knights to be good. So
T-Zones,
you're saying T-Zones have the answers?
They have a very positive game into them. I'm not going to say it's a auto win or it's a 20-0 in a team format. I'm saying I would, if I were defending or if I were the attacker and I threw T-Suns and someone threw Chaos Knights and something.
You'd be like, I'll take that match all day, every day.
The Chaos Knights.
Sundays too.
Because the Chaos Knight won't 20-0 me. They won't.
Yeah.
Even if I just take bring it down, lucky. I'll just look at that. And that is a temptation actually against Chaos Knights is to take fixed. But it's kind of a trap. Don't do it.
Because you get, what, 3 points for bringing it down? For you each get
three per baby.
It's good, right? But, like, if something falls apart or, like, the knights don't die, all of a sudden you're just, like, you're swimming uphill because now you're not scoring 8 points for every knight that lives.
So then the problem becomes picking that other secondary. And if you're a good knight player, you won't have four or five characters. You'll have one or two. Probably two.
Yeah.
For the stalkers. So assassinate's okay, but then just hide the stalkers. And you win.
I mean, just to deploy, and you do kill the knights. I mean, that's the typical plan. If your army can kill knights, that's the plan that you do. Like, it's a trap, but it's also like, if you're not killing the knights, you're probably not going to win that game either way. You could play the I'm playing the keep it close game, but if you're trying to win that game, you're like, I'm killing every one of these
knights. If it's a singles event, you kind of have to, because it's if I don't kill knights, I lose. I mean, you do.
Mm-hmm.
So in a team format, I could see it, but in a singles, you got to go for it.
I took tactical in our team event versus the knight player and the one that you like told to heroic against me.
That's the third mention of that.
He's not holding a grudge, you can tell.
I'm like, I regretted it. I'm like, I always pick fixed against them. Like, I'll take tactical. And I don't need the CP, so like, I don't have I'm trying to do tactical just to get some command points every now and then. I had Calgar on my list. So in that scenario, I killed all but one knight. So I had bring it down for days. And I'm like, when I looked at my secondaries, I only had like 25 points or something. It was like, I should have just did deploy in this. I could have casually got more than 25.
So I would try to get fast moving melee that has an invuln, take some eradicators or a lancer, if that's your jam. Mm-hmm. I would say eradicators.
10 Hellblasters, Lieutenant.
I got you.
Hellblasters, Lieutenant, man. That's a risky biscuit. Your whole game is lethals. It's fives and sixes. You're like, I hope I roll good. That's just a hard game to play.
I mean, that's the name of 40K, right? I hope I roll good.
He's not wrong.
If I roll good, I win the game.
I'm just roll some dragons, baby. Just roll some dragons. But like, sometimes that plan doesn't work out. You can't like let the knights win just because your plan fell apart. You can't let those guys win.
But if I were making a list and trying to think about, ooh, there is a knight player in my meta. Ooh, I am going to a big tournament. I'm going to see him. I mean, you're going to see him if you go to a big tournament. You just are.
Somebody's going to try to stat check with that kind of like stat, right?
Yeah.
The high tough, you know.
Landwear Redeemers, I mean, they still are pretty decent into them. Like they don't want to. The Meltas are a problem, but you know, like, you know, if you get cover, you got, you know, ways to mitigate the AP5. Armor Contempt is still good. If they want to melee you AP3 into a Land Raider, it's not super great.
No, it's not.
It's big damage, so you don't really want to take multiple of those hits, but like you get to overwatch. Hopefully you have something juicy inside that could come out and now punch them. It gives you extra movement. So the tank's durable enough to deliver something, and it's got the guns that it can like potentially kill knights. And even like if a wounded knight charges it, like the overwatch is not insignificant.
I don't want to be that guy, but just the humble predator or the humble like just basic Land Raider. I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, the knights don't like to shoot armor 12. Like, they don't have any rerolls, so they're fishing for fours on their, like, the melta hits. They got to get within 24, which is not, like, super great range for them, because now you're closing into the Marines' threat bubble. And they want to punch you. That's where they really want to shine. So if you can actively, like, take out the fighting guys early, it makes it easier for you. Because once you start tagging brigands in combat, now it's pretty interesting, because they don't slap, and then they want to shoot you or shoot out, and then they're not moving in those scenarios. So if you, like, start tagging them with scouts, it starts becoming problematic for them, especially if they want to move through walls, because now they're like, do I want to save it for this guy now that could fall out of combat, or I want to use it for this the carnivore that wants to charge through the wall? Like, you force a bad decision on them, right? Because now that guy's going to be wasting time sitting back here not moving.
It's so
there's lots of tricks it costs you, but, like,
if you know the army is going to play very aggressively, and if you can make them think about one or two things that are not their normal plan, and you have the horsepower to do it a little in the shooting, mostly in the fight, you're going to be in a good position against them. You're going to be in a better position.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to speed bump them with infiltrators and think that, you know, your 6-up Fennel Pain is going to save them. It's not. They don't outflank anything. They put everything on the table and push it to the middle.
I've seen knights put one or two knights in reserve. I've seen that as a common tactic. It does make the Marine player, makes me, like, I have to, like, deal with the threat of two brigands coming from the side to shoot me, or rapid ingressing a carnivore super close behind a wall that now can move through the wall. That is a pain. It just depends on, like, what the opponent, how aggressive they want to be. I've seen lots of knights players do lots of different things.
I almost prefer everything on the table. It's just, you know where it's going, but you know where it's going.
But can you stop it?
It's fast. Or maybe I just sit here behind a wall and BOC 16 on the objective. Who knows? We'll see.
That's the nightmare scenario, is, like, the knights park out of line of sight and just sit on objective and be like, so do you want to play the game? You're like, okay, I'll come over there.
If they have an objective to park behind a wall with some knights, you have an objective to park behind the wall with some guys, right? Like, they're going to shoot you with their little blast guns. But, like, in that scenario, you can afford to play the standoff game if you're not overly aggressive. But
there's a weird trade game that can develop with 13 babies. You just, every turn, I'll sacrifice one to go stand on objective so that you don't take it your turn.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. When they just give you one, you're like, this is a bad deal. Like, I need to get two or three right now. I can't afford to just, like, commit to killing one.
You can't get to turn four and you have 10 knights left.
Yeah. Usually you can't just kill one, like, casually. You have to expose at least a little bit of beef to kill one baby knight, especially if you, like, four up invulnerable saves it.
Yeah. Two units unless you're fighting it, it's not killing a baby knight. Get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're forced to deal with it, and then that puts you in a position where he's just going to stage to attack you. So, like, you can't let him get into that game. You have to put the pressure on them and make them do things that they don't want to do. Like, it's kind of to Max's point. Like, that's a good point you said. If you can make them kind of get off their plan, it starts to really gum up the works. Like, they got to put knights where they don't want, or they're playing the charge, and now this is a problem they have to deal with.
Yeah, my opponent took behind enemy lines. Dang, now I have to try to screen out my home or keep something back there to kill something, whatever he brings in. Okay, so I got to think about that. He's got all this in outflank. Dang, or strategic reserve. Now I got to think about screening that. Okay. And he's got this really long range, last cannons on the table. Dang, now I got to think about that. So
if you're Chaos Knights, what armies are you, like, really happy to see across from the table? You don't want to see Thousand Sons. Marines,
depends on the build. It depends on the build. Yeah. The second-hand parking lot, I probably don't want to see that, but I think you equally don't want to see me.
A lot of Meltas. Yeah.
Yeah, the Knights, it's interesting how that, I don't know about that match. Like, that could be bad all the way around.
That could be, I show you a brigand, and I pop four up in Vuln, and I tank everything, or I tank nothing. I mean,
I think that game really just comes down to dice.
Positioning,
right?
Dice.
Because you're basically playing a mirror second match.
Like, what secondaries do I draw? What secondaries do you draw?
Yeah, you're both tough 10. You both have a bunch of meltas. Both have 12 wounds. Like,
yeah, my melta's only strength 9, though. His are strength 12. So, like, I lose that battle just on straight shots. But
you have more.
I have more volume shots. And I have rerolls, right? Yeah. So Marines do the things.
It'd be a good game. We'll find out. We'll find out, listeners.
Yeah, we probably should play that. If I ever can get off this PTSD of building, I have to build more gladiators.
This is where Mac walks off frame in his and walks into Thomas's frame. Let's go.
Let's do it.
I think if it's the like the Vanguard list that everyone plays, I think it can bully it pretty hard. Yeah. If it's
But the Vanguard list is fun, but like
the problem with the Vanguard list against you is like, I mean, for them, for the Marine player, is like you move through walls, move through models. So like there's none of the screening, keeping away. They have to be very careful because if you end within 3 inches of them, they can't bounce away. Mm-hmm. So you start like, I charge this other thing. I made you spend CP. You can't do your fall away thing or whatever. And then I consolidate near a unit that I thought was completely safe. It can cause all sorts of problems. And then you're like, mm-hmm. if you are knights everywhere and they're like, hey, I want to pick up and deep strike down. And you're like, where are you going to deep strike? I blocked the zone, the whole board. You can't come over here. You can drop in this one little corner and then I get to charge you next turn. Do you want to go there?
So I think that's an uphill game for them. Other knights, I mean, I think the hot lizard drop could do pretty well into it.
Yeah.
You certainly have the horsepower to like erase knights. I think the question always becomes in that game, because we talked about it a lot. I've experienced it both ways, is if you screw up on your placement or you choose to try to bite off a little bit too much, then
or you can pick get the wrong knights to kill. I mean, because that happens. They're going to be like, I think I need to kill the melee ones. No, you don't. You need to kill the shooty ones and specific shooty ones.
It's very interesting how that is. Like, you're like, the mighty ones are like generally, as they're the best knights, and you're like, I could care less about the fighting ones. I play Death Guard all the time, and they usually take some knight allies. And I much rather see the carnivores than the brigands, just because of the way my army works. And it's just like they're much easier to deal with than
mm-hmm.
having to worry about brigands shooting me.
Yeah,
and then stacking in all the extra AP that they can get with the Death Guard bonuses as well.
So, no, they're not unbeatable. Chaos Knights don't dominate the meta right now. They don't.
No, I mean, I think what our conversation is, obviously, I'm always jokingly mostly saying that they're terrible, but they're not terrible. They are very good. And if you're not used to playing them, you can get surprised. And if you just go by the knights are bad or chaos knights are bad, knights are not bad. Like regular knights, mm-hmm. they're different, but that's a whole different level of game there. They're not bad. Like, so if you just walk into a knight's like, I heard knights are terrible, I'm going to easily win this game. You like, you could be here in a rude awakening. Yeah, so
it's the bottom of three and just you go, wait a minute, what's the score? I thought these guys were bad.
Why are they still alive? Yeah. So knights are, it's good. So I think just from a gaming perspective, if you're not used to seeing knights, hopefully you've got a little bit of vision into what knights can do. And then if you are having trouble with knights, certainly hit us up in the comments or, you know, reach out to us. I'm happy to share all my knight hate and how did the D-Mech
knights. Thomas has a notebook.
Dude,
like 30 pages long.
Years of experience of just like beating on knights. So like, I love it. Nothing gets me more excited to talk about 40K as if like, is there knights around? Can we figure out how I can beat some knights? It's interesting though, like, you know, you kind of see them falling out of favor because of all the other lists that are coming around, but like,
mm-hmm.
knights are still good, especially in teams. Like, we always just like discount knights, and you're like, don't discount knights because it's really strong. Everyone just thinks that I auto win, so they're just like, yeah, Thomas will take care of the knights. I'm like, if I get the knights, I'll be happy as a clam, but like, that's not an easy game even for me. My list is like,
what they do have that I don't see in the game anywhere else really is the indirect, and it's the volume of it. And the indirect is really good mm-hmm. against killing crappy units. And you're like, why is that good?
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like much, right? No. So, like, you look at it on paper, you're like, okay, yeah, no AP, okay, whatever, great. And then, but like, after like two rounds of taking it, you're going, oh,
it's actually I'm on the eighth one. And you're like, how many more of these do you have to shoot? Oh, five more. We'll get there.
Yeah.
You have
I'll
to
let you like, know when I'm done.
You have to deal with them. You start making them, you know, force them to like not get their buffs because they're shooting the closest thing and then the knights are now having to shoot something else. Or you force them to like, this thing I really need to kill, it's not where I want to shoot the artillery at, but like, this is that land raider's on two wounds. You start having them shoot the artillery at that, then you feel like you're using the knights against themselves. But like, yeah, if they just get to like unadulterately pick up your little chaff that's screening or mm-hmm. that's sitting in the back safe, holding the back objective, if that's how you play your game, like those guys are like prime target for them to just kind
of
start.
All of a sudden, it's turn three, and you go, so I get no primary.
Nobody's left back there, you know, like, or they're like one guy left and he failed his battle shot, and you're like, stupid scouts, you know, or whatever. So,
The indirect late game can really surprise you if all of a sudden they start plinking stuff and you start taking battle shocks. Because I know I failed way more battle shocks than I think any other human being should, but it is a thing, and it is something to know about at the very least. So if you don't know about it, you won't win.
Yeah.
So
yeah, sure.
That's our Chaos Knight primer. If you want to play Chaos Knights, please do it. Thomas will be happy to play you.
Come over to the basement. We'll have a studio. I'll film a game. I haven't filled the actual battle report in, man, way too long. I need to get some. We just haven't had a chance to do any actual filming of battle reports. I'm overdue.
It is worth mentioning. Some games. You kind of alluded to it there. If you do play Chaos Marines of some variety, there is value in allying a couple of babies in most armies. Mm-hmm. There is value in it. Of course, they don't get the same rules, and they can't do everything that Chaos Knights can do.
They don't get to move through strat
rules,
but they still carnivores still move 14 and still fight pretty good and hit on twos. Like that's not nothing, right? So
T-Sons could remove your saves and then a brigand shoot you, and I mean that's good. You still get a little bit of indirect. You don't get the 13d6 indirect, but you get some. Chaos Marines, I feel like, have better options.
Yeah,
than them.
Yeah, they're not lacking for that particular role.
And
right, like Death Guard has a good use for them. They're very useful just to be fast run.
They synergize well with Death Guard. Their ability to like turn off your saves or reduce your weapon skill, like that, just that contagion aura is really useful for them. And then they're so short range with most of their firepower, even having the shooting ones or just the fighting ones to project force because they're slow typically. Mm-hmm. Adds a lot for the Death Guard match. So like Death Guard right now is very good army.
And World Eaters, they don't need it.
They don't want that. Yeah.
They don't need it. World Eaters is one army that can kind of outbully you, but they don't trade particularly well. The Chaos Knight player can trade with you and win in a weird way against World Eaters. You can go, here's three carnivores. Do you want to eat them? Oh, you ate them. Cool. Okay, here's the other three, and here's the brigand to shoot at everything, too. And if you pop three units of Exalted or two in Angron,
doing pretty good.
A tough spot coming up.
Yeah, yeah. It's always tricky with Angron. You need to devote firepower to kill him, but you're always on the clock if that guy gets to come back. So it's like you really rather shoot the Exalted if you can get at them. And so it's just like the timing of when they come in. You almost kind of want to set up that first charge so like they can YOLO in on turn one just so they're all there. Mm-hmm. Activate.
You did it, buddy.
You don't want to just be.
You got him. You killed him. Cagey. Now you're right here.
Yeah.
Right here.
World Eaters. What a puzzle. Those guys are super good. If even with their nerfs of the guy re-rolling every round or whatever, like you don't need that.
No.
It certainly makes them less automatic, but it's World Eaters are great. And they're super fun to play with. I mean, I'm not a Chaos guy, but I had a lot of fun playing with those guys. There's something satisfying about just being able to run far and then just melee something.
Singular purpose.
Usually melee, you're like, oh, it's so difficult to actually finally make it there. And then when I do, wet noodles happen. And you're like, World Eaters like, I go far, I cross the table, and I turn on all the buffs. Everything explodes. You're like, this is satisfying. You know, I don't know why I like this so much.
It's a one-trick pony, but it's like, a mean pony.
It's a mean pony.
Yeah, on the other side, you're like, oh, World Eaters, stay over there, you know. So it's very fun playing against
one. So other than that, that's kind of the primer on Chaos Knights. We'll work on another army for the next edition, and we'll try to have you some how to play against another army that usually you may not see unless you go to larger tournaments or something, you know, because everybody has the same. Everybody's got a Tau player in your area. Everybody knows what Tau does.
I mean, we sort of do we have Tau here? Like, I mean, there are some Tau players, but we give them such crap that they don't live long.
Them so hard for
they,
showing up.
They just
Tau.
Like switch to other armies. Like, we have the new book coming out, right? So, like, it's supposed to be it came out this weekend or next weekend.
We can talk about Tau next time. I'm okay with that.
I don't know anything about the new Tau other than the suits got smaller.
I'm happy to talk about them. I have played Tau at major tournaments. I have come out of the closet in that regard.
He has used the Tau. Yeah.
I fish person now.
I'm at least fish adjacent in that regard.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah,
I'd like to get some games on tabletop with you, Mac, with the Chaos Knights. Now we're talking about it. Got me thinking.
You don't have actual Chaos Knights. You sold yours, so you have to redo them. You've been playing all your Chaos Knights with TTS.
Yeah,
right?
I do. I actually have all the models now.
I know you have the actual ones, but not built. So they're all in a box.
There's three that are built, and then that's as far as I got.
They're a little easier to build than the gladiators.
Oh, that's for sure.
Jeez. And they're easier to paint. Like, painting knights is such a, like, a rewarding
thing. That is true. Like, I have some Imperial Knights I've painted. I've never painted Chaos ones. But the Imperial Knights are very fun to paint, and they're very easy to paint, especially if you have an airbrush. It's just like, you get to paint all the armor plates. It's really nice. You can do some cool fades, and the decals really make the models pop.
You can paint that army. It's just full of metal. Literally paint it in a weekend. From start, from bare plastic to, I am done with this army and will never paint it again. And there's something very rewarding about that, because it's that, like, you know, I just cut the grass. I can look back, put hands on hips and go, yeah.
Yeah. And it's not very many 40K armies where you can just, like, knock it out that quickly and you have a whole army done that fast. Normally, it's like this big arduous process of, you know, weeks and months of maybe years, depending on what army it is or who you are. Getting the army completed and knights, you're like,
yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to their book coming out, because if you can play the Chaos Big Knights, I'm sure they'll have a detachment for it. Like, I really want to play the Big Knights. I love those models. It's just they can't really do anything with them right now.
They're so cool.
Yeah, they're like as soon as they announced the Aberrant or the Abomination, whichever one that one is,
Abominant. Yeah,
yeah. I was like, I saw that. I was like, I have no desire to play this army right now, but I'm buying that box, like, as soon as I get my hands on it. And I have one I haven't built and painted them yet, but it's like, I'm just waiting for a chance, right? Need a good excuse to put some paint on them.
Yeah, the Big Knights just, bless their hearts. They're doing their best. Yeah, it's just not enough. When the babies are so efficient, you just can't.
The babies are, it's like, Imperial Knights, the good guy side, it's just like, they wish they could have the efficiency of the Chaos ones, because like their lists are mostly built around the big ones, not the small ones. And so they with the bondsman abilities, all the stuff that they lost there, it's just hard climb for them. But they are still good. It's interesting to play with them. You know, they're not going to win GTs. It's just too many bad matches for them in the overall. But they can do some neat things, and they can cause a lot of problems, especially even in teams. Like, I think a good player with regular knights or Chaos Knights can cause a lot of disruption. Like, those are good armies.
Well, guys, we appreciate you listening. This has been another episode of the Meta Marine. We'll talk to you next time. So, Nick, Thomas, thank you guys for coming.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye.